Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 15. Tonight will be the third part of this series on the fear of God and keep His commandments. You know, Ecclesiastes sort of summarizes everything by, you know, everything about life, you know, and if we just fear God and keep His commandments, you know, it would be a great world. Just get those two things down. Last week, I appreciate people noticing that something happened while I'm reading the scripture. I had the wrong version. And what happened is I copy a lot of stuff and put on my, word processor and Word document, and then I just delete it or get rid of it. I mean, I don't even study other versions. There's no reason for me to do that. But when I copy material, you know, it's all there. Instead of deleting it, you know, and I got about halfway through, and I thought, from the look on everybody's face, they must be under deep conviction. You know, this must be a really good point. And then I realized something's wrong. But you know, when you're trying to read something and think, you know, what's wrong at the same time, it doesn't work. And so I got through it. My wife subtly reminded me of my error, the error of my way. So I've repented. You know, I've got that right. But I apologize to put you through that effort and the contortion to wonder what in the world is he reading. And I don't even know what version it was, but it certainly wasn't the King James Version. Anyway, we got them all right tonight, I hope. Okay, John chapter 14 and verse 15. One of the shortest verses of the Bible, and yet one of the most important and deep verses of the Bible. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that could be as clear as anything could be. I mean, it's conditional. If we love him, then we keep his commandments. For someone to say, I can do what I want, don't tell me what to do, don't preach to me, and to say they love God is an impossibility. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. You'll keep his word. Now, I don't know how many references, but there are scores of references to keeping his commandments in one form or another. And often it's connected with the fear of God. Fear God and keep his commandments. The two do go together. So having a reverence and awe for God, a respect for God, a righteous fear of disobeying, displeasing him. At the same time, the motivation to please him by following his commands of doing what he asked us to do. And it's important to make sure we're all on the same page. What are his commandments? You know, what did he say? What are we required to do? Sometimes people mistakenly say, well, you know, that's in the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us. You know, the whole Bible is put together for a reason. It's for our benefit, for our value. We don't live under the Jewish law. However, there are principles, including the commands that we call the Ten Commandments, and many principles by which we are bound by. When it comes to God's moral law or God's morality, God has not changed in his essence of who he is. So if it's right, then it's always right. If it's wrong, it's always wrong. So God has given us commands, whatever he said, that we have to do. Now, there are things, obviously, that did pertain just to the nation of Israel. But, however, there are many, many commands that pertain to everyone universally, and there are some specific commands that pertain to us in the church age, to every Christian. I like what Proverbs says. It's Proverbs 3:1. If you'd like to turn there with me, Proverbs 3:1. And I'm going to read three separate verses out of Proverbs. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So we are to obey from the heart whatever God says we should do. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. It could not be any clearer. Chapter 7. Verse 2 says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And what that phrase means is it has to be something very special. One of the most important things in your life should be the commands of God. I want to make sure I follow God, follow the Word of God. Whatever He wants in my life, that's important. That's the main thing for which I live, the thing that gets my attention. You know, it's the apple of the eye is something that gets your attention, that you like. It's something you're interested in, and it's most important to you. And so the Word of God should always get our attention to say, that's what I want more than anything. It's to live for God and to follow the Word of God, to obey Him in all that I do. Now, the commands obviously are given, as we call the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20. Just to read a few of them, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is under, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. And what are the next four words? And keep my commandments. So there's something special within the Ten Commandments themselves that He is going to bless those that keep His commandments. He said, I'll show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So our God is a jealous God. So this gives us sort of a premise to understand God, that He delights in His children following the path that He's given us, to obey the Word of God, to obey the commandments that He's given us. So you can't separate the fear of God from obeying the commands of God. If you fear God, you'll obey His commands. If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. See, they all go together. But man is prone to go his own way. You just can't get away from it. We've all erred. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And we see that tendency. If you look at the children of Israel, they're out here in the wilderness. They're just delivered out of Egypt. It was miraculous. God performed miracle after miracle through the 10 plagues and then in the journeys. And they're out here after God has already proven Himself. They have literally seen with their eyes the miracle hand of God. And yet they have a tendency to go back to the idols and false worship. You know, you have to scratch your head and say, what were they thinking? See, that's the tendency of man. You leave man alone, he has a tendency to go back to the old way, follow the flesh, do our own thing. That is just the basic nature of man. Left to himself, man goes his own way. In chapter 16, verse 28 of Exodus, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, the Ten Commandments had not yet been given, but they knew the law. They knew what was right and wrong. It was just stated officially in the Ten Commandments. And so they had disobeyed. He said, how long do you refuse to obey me, to keep my laws and my commandments? Turn with me back to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. And starting with verse 4. First Kings 9:4. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Notice verse 6. But if ye shall all at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Now let me ask you, what happened? That's exactly what happened. They were cast out and they were taken into captivity. You know, the northern kingdom to Assyria and the Judah to Babylon. They were taken away. You know, I think God tried to teach the people that when he spoke to Solomon. He said, if you'll follow me and you'll obey my commandments, I'm going to bless you. But if you don't, said, then you need to turn from your wicked way. If you'll seek my face and pray and turn from your wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. So he gave that provision in the book of Chronicles that even if you go away, you can come back and turn back to me. But the idea is it all centers around keeping the commandments of God. Now, look, there's no one here tonight, I don't believe, that believes you're saved by keeping the commandments. Okay, obeying the commands of God does not merit you one bit of salvation. It doesn't help, doesn't suggest it does. It has nothing to do with your salvation. That is all the grace of God. It is His mercy that He saved us by the shed blood of Christ. So there is nothing we can do by obeying the commands of God. But as Christians, we've got to realize something. If we're going to please Him, and if we're going to live for Him, then we've got to obey His commandments for our benefit and to bring honor and glory to Him. And if we don't obey Him, then judgment comes. Then we miss the blessing that He has for us. As He took Israel out of that land, so He can take us away from the place of blessing. And you see that over and over and over again. People get crossways out of the will of God. They stop living for God. And you just watch their life. And they're no longer in a place where God can bless them. And they keep wondering, why do I have all this bad luck? Why do so many bad things happen to me? Well, you know, you went away from God. You stopped obeying His commandments. You stopped fearing God. Children, it's important to fear God and obey the Word of God. Do what is right. Not one of us can obey all the commands. We all are sinners. But that should be our goal. We should make the effort every day to say, if I'm going to please God, I'm concerned about obeying the commands of God. In 2 Kings chapter 17. And verse 13, 2 Kings 17 and verse 13. Israel's taken away into captivity in Assyria, and as we had mentioned, verse 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. You see that their blessing centered around the commands of God and obeying the commands. As long as they did that, they were blessed. But when they stop, they're taken out of that place of blessing. They're taken into captivity. So man is prone to go his own way, do his own thing. We all are prone. It's important to confess sin, get right with God, keep a short list of those things that are not right, and have that determination in your heart. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to do that which is right and obey the Word of God. And by the way, there are some things that are somewhat subtle that the closer you draw to the Lord, the more He reveals to you what is right and what is wrong. You know, I think a new Christian can be filled with the Spirit. I think they can be a good Christian. But you'll find a new Christian will soon realize there's some shortcomings in his life. And God begins showing those things to him. The key is to have that in your heart. I want to follow God. If He tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. You know, when it comes to separation from the world, a lot of people balk at that. They don't want to be separate from the world. They want to hold on to worldliness. And you know what it does? It hinders them from the blessing of God. And they don't see the blessing. They get caught up in all the things of the world. God can't bless that. The third thing I see here is love is the highest motive. It is the highest motive in our relationship to God. In 1 John 5, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat him, loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Let me tell you what one of the problems is in trying to reach people. Some people get the idea, if I go to that church, man, it's going to put me in a little box. I've got to change all these things about my life. And so they hesitate, and that's a stumbling block for them. They struggle with that. Now, some churches take the attitude, then, well, we'll just not ask anything of you. We'll not hold any standard. Just come as you are and leave as you are. You can do whatever you want. We'll not say anything about it. That's a personal thing. That's up to you. But God holds a standard. Whenever we understand this, the commandments of God are not grievous. They're a blessing to us. It's a good thing to obey the Word of God, to not lie, to not steal, to not bear false witness, to not covet. Those are good things. And it's helpful to us. And we say, oh, I don't want to be put in a box. Well, you don't understand. That's the place of blessing, to follow the commands of God. Fear God and keep His commandments. We should look forward to that. We should enhance that. We should say, whatever God has for me, whatever is right, that's what I want to do. Whatever God teaches, then I'm going to follow it. But when we balk at that, it does become grievous. And it's hard. It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. You know, I don't want to tithe. I don't want to give. You know, I don't want to wear that. I want to listen to this music. You know what happens? It is grievous. You know, because of your attitude. You don't see the point that He wants what's best for you. His way is best. Let me tell you something. The first time I heard Christian music that I can remember, someone had a, I don't know how they were playing it. I don't know if it was a cassette tape or what they were playing. It may have been a record, a long play album. And I'm listening to that music, and I'm in this guy's home and listening to that music. I wasn't yet saved, but I just started going back to church. And I listened to that music, and to me, it was almost embarrassing. At that time, that point in my life, I hate to admit it, but I thought, oh, I hope no one sees me here listening to that music. Because I was used to Neil Diamond and, you know, all this rock and roll stuff. And I thought, man, this, you know, it wasn't that I didn't like it necessarily. But I was embarrassed to be around it. It wasn't my taste at all. But I wasn't saved. It wasn't long after I got saved. I'm working at a hydraulics company part-time to help pay my school bill. And the guy in the back is playing this rock and roll music. And you know what? I couldn't hardly stand it. How did that happen? Well, it all happened in my heart. Music, same thing I was listening to. Now he's listening to it, but something happened to me. It was no longer grievous. Well, whenever we have a heart, just say, I want to do what's right. I want to just follow the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a joy. It's for our benefit. It's a good thing. It's also repeated. Turn to Romans chapter 13. We'll see Paul's take on all this. Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So it is an obedience to the commands of God. That's what love is. It's not Old Testament, this is New Testament. And Paul is telling us the importance of obeying the commands of God. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in John 15:10, he says, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. So what Jesus was saying is that all the commandments are based on a heart attitude. That if we love God and he's first place in our lives, then we will love our neighbor as ourselves. Everything else falls into place. Everything else works out. We don't have to worry about all the rest of them if we just do that. The real issue is, do we really love God, or do we love ourselves more than God? Are we doing our own thing, going our own way, or are we doing what God wants us to do? So if we love God, keep his commandments, we see the blessing of God. We're is evidenced by the love that we have in our heart for him that relates then to the people around us. That is the highest motive we have. And then the last point, turn with me to Leviticus 16. I'm sorry, 26 and verse 1. Leviticus 26. Obviously, the book of Leviticus is about the giving of the law for Israel and all the things they were supposed to do, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, and all the things that pertain to the offerings. But the truth applies to you and I today. Leviticus 26 and verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land, to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And yes, ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Now think about what he's saying. He's saying, you don't have to worry about war. You don't have to worry about food or shelter. You're going to live at peace. And you'll have plenty. What more could a person ask for? He said, if you'll keep my commandments, if you will obey me, then you're going to see a correlation to his blessing. Now, this is the Old Testament. It's in the book of Leviticus. It's talking about the nation of Israel. But the truth remains the same. Follow God, obey his commandments, do that which is right, and you'll see the blessing of God in your life. You'll see God's hand of approval. You'll see God's direction in your life. Doesn't mean that you're not ever going to get sick again. Doesn't mean that you won't fall on a counter or break your ribs. It doesn't mean that none of your family will ever die. But it does mean he will be with you all the time. It does mean that he will show his favor toward you. And that's the blessing. Psalm 119 says, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. We are blessed people when we fear God and keep his commandments. We can get caught up into, here's what the Bible teaches. Here's what prophecy tells us about the end times. Here's what we know about Genesis and evolution. And, you know, we can go through a lot of information, and yet miss something that relates to our heart. And it really comes back to the heart. Do we really desire to live for God? Do we fear him? And do we follow the Word of God? If we do, it'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us from disobedience. It'll help us follow the right path. But we have to constantly be reminded, stay in the Word of God, be faithful in church, that he will help us to make that priority in our lives. Let's bow for prayer.